Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future with a savings plan from Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, the government faces a delicate balancing act in September's budget, according to the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council today. The watchdog has warned about the imminent cost of climate change, which it believes, has not been realistically incorporated into government forecasts. At the same time, a report card on the government's climate and environment actions shows a dip in performance over the past year. The report, which was commissioned by Friends of the Earth, noted that slippage on climate and energy commitments were not offset by improved progress on nature and transport commitments. Well, to discuss all of this, we're joined now by Oisin Coughlan, Director of Friends of the Earth Ireland, and by Green Party TD Brian Ledden, who's also spokesperson on transport, energy, climate and chair of the Oireachtas Climate Committee. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Oisin, I might start with yourself and that report that was commissioned by Friends of the Earth. Can you tell us briefly what did you find?
So we asked three independent experts. We didn't set the scores. Dr. Cara Gustenberg from UCD, Dr. Paul Dean from UCC, and Dr. Dermot Turney from DCU to look at all the information that's there about how the government has implemented its commitments, its own commitments, not sort of what we'd like them to do from the programme for government. And basically, there's nine different areas, and they found good progress in waste, air quality, transport. Transport's actually gone up from last year. And then some areas that were poor last year, like water and marine, and agriculture are still poor. They've gone. Water's gone down in quality. The big drop is in energy because we're burning too much coal. There's demand increases from data centres, and the pace of implementation on things like renewables isn't fast enough. The direction of policy is good, but the pace isn't fast enough. Whereas the good news is on the nature and biodiversity side, that's up significantly. And climate's dropped a bit, as in they're good on governance. But again, then this is the overall finding, really, that there's a gap between the ambition and the action. The judges, or the experts, have found effectively that they're not fast enough at translating the commitments into action. We're now 2 years into at most a 5-year plan, and the experts expected a bit more of the implementation to have happened, not just the sort of the rule setting and the policy setting.
And overall, then, if we're going to stick with the idea of a report card, what is the grade?
Well, it's a C overall, down from a C plus last year. And in our reaction as Friends of the Earth, and we had no role in the results, we've said, well, that's a kind of a could do better. Like, if you extend the metaphor of the report card, the government's like keen to participate in class and is putting its hand up, but it isn't showing through in their results yet. Their homework is sometimes late or isn't even delivered. And so they really have to focus now on delivery.
Brian Ledden, what do you have to say to all that?
I think to continue the analogy, the report card analogy, we want to be a student. We want to be reducing emissions and acting on climate change, as going as far as possible and as quickly as possible. I think Friends of the Earth and I think the three experts that were commissioned are probably doing the government a service in holding us to account and pointing out where we could do better. And it is important that they do that. I would probably quibble with a few of the results. I might argue that we are maybe doing better on energy and maybe less well on transport than the grade they've given us. I certainly wouldn't agree that the transport sector appears to be the only sector that may meet its emission ceiling target. It's going to be incredibly hard in that sector, notwithstanding the progress that's been made. And in energy, we are actually doing very well. You know, we certainly can't go quickly enough, but the implementation is pretty good. We're up to 40% renewables as it is, and we're pushing for 80% by the end of the decade. And I do think we'll get there. But I'm not going to argue with the report card. I think it's important that we hear what the independent experts think.
Okay.
And it's important that we respond.
Just your thoughts, Oisin, on what Brian has to say there about the renewable aspect of things, that we're actually doing better there than the experts seem to think we are.
Well, I mean, I know there's a lot of renewables in the pipeline, but we've heard industry representatives, for example, talk about the delays in the government support schemes for offshore, for example, and indeed the planning delays. So It is challenging, and it's going to have to get faster. Basically, like we're 2 years in, and we know we're facing an energy crisis. So it isn't delivering on the ground as fast as we need. The fact we had to burn more coal in the last year is not a good sign. And overall, like while the experts were sort of praising the progress on the governance aspects of climate policy, our emissions went up in the last year. So you know, in the end of the day, it has to actually deliver more renewables and less emissions.
Brian, this is a constant narrative, really, isn't it, around the government when it comes to climate change targets and ambitions versus actions and delivery, that it always tends to fall short, doesn't it? And really well short of what is planned or targeted.
Yeah, but you have to appreciate as well that the targets are far greater than they have ever been. So this is a reflection of that as well. It's a measure of performance against our own incredibly ambitious targets. You have to start with that, with those stretch targets, and then you have to oversee their implementation. We are 2 years into the government. If I can use another analogy, this is half time in the game of hurling, and the second half, is all to play for. I think with the foundation for climate action is laid pretty well in terms of the climate law. The climate action plan is there now from last year, and it's revisable every year to get us back on track if we're off track. And that's one of the more powerful aspects of the climate legislation that we brought in. We certainly would have liked to have brought it in quicker than we did. It wasn't easy. It is a generational piece of legislation, going to guide emissions reductions right down to net zero in 2050.
That's the question. I mean, that's back to the question of ambition versus action and real plans. I mean, for example, the Fiscal Advisory Council today noting that there's no estimate of the budgetary cost of implementing the climate action plan. If there's no estimate of the budget, how likely is it going to happen?
I think there has to be an estimate of the budgetary cost. Is like a lot of climate action is not just cost. I mean, there's economic opportunity in it as well, and we've mentioned the offshore wind potential that Ireland has.
Sure, but for example, the fiscal, I mean, you agree then there has to be an estimate of budgetary cost, but there isn't one. And the Fiscal Advisory Council is pointing out today that, for example, the loss of tax revenue on motor fuels under the Climate Action Plan, this idea of moving towards electric vehicles, I think it's 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2030, relevant or very large losses in revenue could result from that. He said there were six, or the Advisory Council is saying there were 6 billion or 2.8% of gross national product in 2019 for motor fuels. 6 billion euro, and no budgetary plan as to how you're going to replace that.
Yeah, and the whole system has to change and get its head around the scale of the challenge that we have. And I would certainly say that the system hasn't fully grasped the scale of the challenge. If I go back to transport, for example, the challenges we have there are very hard, and we saw very simple things like getting cycle lanes into cities have been met with fierce resistance, and that's just an example of one element, one agency of the state, and the local government, but all elements of the state do need to switch on, and we do need to cost the challenge that we have, and we need to
Oisin, I'll let you in just in one second, but just, Brian, for people who are listening, who are really interested, and I think a lot of people now are really invested in Ireland doing what it can to combat climate change, listening to you as a government TD after 2 years with the Green Party in government saying we need to do this, as opposed to it has been done, I'm talking about budgeting for the climate law, because the climate law can't be implemented if you haven't done your homework and worked out how much it's going to cost.
No, that's not strictly true, because a lot of what the climate law is about isn't budgetary. It's a framework for changing the course of the country. It is the single most important piece of legislation in terms of climate that this government or any government will pass. Took a bit longer to get across the line than we certainly would have liked. It took about a year, but it is very significant. You have to give the government credit for that. I also remember going back to the 2007, okay. 2011.
Okay, so sorry, you want credit for implementing the climate law, and I understand that point. Oisin, you wanted to get in.
Well, obviously, I agree the climate law is fundamental, and I agree with Brian. It could have been quicker, but that wasn't only his or this Parliament's responsibility. But I actually think the challenge is greater than the Fiscal Advisory Council says there, and is more immediate. I mean, we've been saying it's a climate crisis for years, and the Dáil declared a climate emergency 3 years ago. But I think people have seen this year, both in terms of the actual climate breakdown around the world, and now in terms of the energy crisis, that we really are in an emergency. And our concern is the government isn't really yet acting like that. They acted like that around COVID and maybe around the Ukraine war or Russian invasion back in March. But we have three big tests coming up now. You've mentioned the budget. There's also a promised plan on energy poverty. And then there's a new action plan on climate itself, the overall emissions. Those are coming up in the next 3 months. And we really need to see, like in all of government, we need to see the three party leaders acting like they did during COVID, with like addressing the nation and how they're going to keep the lights on this winter, keep people warm and reduce emissions, and not just in energy, but across the board.
You're concerned, Oisin, there will be backsliding on climate commission or climate commitments in face of the energy crisis, are you?
Well, I mean, I think the solution to both is the same. It is getting off fossil fuels as fast as possible. Like, energy security is about reducing demand and increasing supply, or balancing supply and demand. And that means getting off fossil fuels, which are the expensive part, as quickly as possible, and retrofitting homes and protecting the most vulnerable. But we need to see those dots join, because there's plenty of scope for confusion in there, for sure. Joined by the leadership of government over the next 3 months to see a real concrete action on all of those aspects, and to give people hope that we can get out of this.
Interestingly, actually, we have a text from one of our listeners about the government working together in all of this. This person says, "I give the government a low mark on climate change. They make great statements but seem to lack the courage to carry out the hard decisions. Also, I feel Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil put the Greens in the firing line and hide behind them, for example, on agriculture targets. All party leaders should stand together on major announcements." Do you think that person, that's Bernie who's texted in there, Brian, do you think they're right, or Bernie is right, that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil put the Greens in the firing line and hide behind them sometimes?
No, I disagree, and I think the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach have shown leadership on the issue, and I think the three leaders are very clear that this is an existential crisis that needs to be resolved. I might say that in the Green Party, we've been talking about this for 40 years, and we've seldom had the chance to be in government and to influence the direction of government.
You didn't get much support in TERF, for example, did you?
Yeah, and when you, and that's not just in government, that's quite across the Oireachtas. So, you know, it's clear that climate action in many cases isn't easy. And, you know, it's grand to say, you know, we'll just reduce emissions by 50%.
Okay, speaking of a decision that probably won't be easy, carbon taxes are due to go up again in the budget this year. People on their knees trying to fill their car to get to work. Is that something you think should go ahead?
I think we have to stick with the programme. The plan for carbon tax is to increase it by €7 a tonne through to 2030. It's all experts will agree that is critically important in changing behaviours. When it comes down to the cost on the average home, it's I think about 1.5 cents a litre. So it isn't the major cost now. There's plenty of bad faith actors who will point to the carbon tax as the reason for people's high energy bills, when that actually isn't the case at all.
Piers Doherty made an interesting point. Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin, speaking to Claire Byrne this morning, he was saying the whole idea behind carbon taxes, it makes fuel more expensive and that will change behaviour. He was saying if that was true, behaviour would have already changed, given how expensive fuel has become over the last six months or so. It's a fair point, is it? Like, if a really high cost of fuel was going to turn people off, surely they'd have been turned off by now. They'd be getting out of their cars in droves. We don't see it happening.
Well, actually, we do see it happening. We see there's a backlog in people trying to get whether it's buy electric vehicles or electric bikes or get their homes retrofitted. It's very hard to get contractors to do this kind of work now. Behaviour is changing. That's a fact.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry. No, I'd like to get into that in more detail, but unfortunately, we're almost out of time. And I just want to ask you finally, Brian, and briefly, there are more energy hikes, staying with that theme, for households today, because we've learned in the last short while that energy provider Prepay Power has said that it's going to increase gas and electricity prices from the 1st of October. Electricity prices are going to rise by 19%. Gas prices will increase by 29%. How is the government going to respond to this unsustainable situation, given what we saw from Airtricity last week, and it looks like it's a trend that's going to continue.
Yeah, and we're seeing the problem all across Europe, and the EU Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, said very starkly yesterday that the market is broken and it needs to be significantly reformed, and I agree with that. And we had a meeting of the Joint Directives Committee on Environment and Climate Action yesterday, and the Minister was absolutely clear about that as well. So we'll know, I think, in a matter of days what proposals are in front of the Member States. But what we need to do, I think, is decouple the wholesale gas price from the electricity price, because the wholesale gas price, which has gone through the roof, is causing the electricity price to go through the roof as well. So it is a fundamentally broken market.
Is that something that could happen, do you think, anytime soon?
I think it has to happen, because the price, the wholesale gas price has gone up 12 or 14 fold.
Is that something Eamon Ryan is arguing for, so at EU level, do you know?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. We'll have to leave it there for the moment. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's Brian Leddon, Green Party TD, and Oisin Coughlan, Director of Friends of the Earth Ireland. Let us know what you think. 5-1.